No matter where you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the fifth day of April. Welcome, everyone. We are finishing this week together, and we'll do it in the Word together. Today, we continue in the book of Judges, reading Judges chapters 16, 17, and 18, and today's the last day in the New Revised Standard Version Updated Edition. Judges chapter 16. Once Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute, and went into her. The Gazites were told, "Samson has come here." So they circled around and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They kept quiet all night, thinking, "Let us wait until the light of the morning, then we will kill him." But Samson lay only until midnight. Then at midnight he rose up, took hold of the doors of the city gate and the two posts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. After this, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came to her and said to her, "Coax him and find out what makes his strength so great, and how we may overpower him, so that we may bind him in order to subdue him, and we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me what makes your strength so great, and how you could be bound, so that one could subdue you." Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that are not dried out, then I shall become weak and be like anyone else." Then the lords of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not dried out, and she bound him with them. While men were laying in wait in an inner chamber, she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he snapped the bowstrings as a strand of fiber snaps when it touches the fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you could be bound." He said to her, "If they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like anyone else." So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." The men lying in wait were in an inner chamber, but he snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Until now, you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you could be bound." He said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web and make it tight with a pin, then I shall become weak and be like anyone else." So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his head and wove them into the web and made them tight with the pin. Then she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled away the pin, the loom, and the web. Then she said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you,' when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me 3 times now, and have not told me what makes your strength so great." Finally, after she had nagged him with her words day after day and pestered him, he was tired to death. So he told her his whole secret and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, then my strength would leave me. I would become weak and be like anyone else." When Delilah realized that he had told her his whole secret, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "This time come up, for he has told his whole secret to me." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She let him fall asleep on her lap, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. He began to weaken, and his strength left him. Then she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." When he awoke from his sleep, he thought, I will go out, as other times, and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. So the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes. They brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to their god Dagon and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand." When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hand, the ravager of our country who has killed many of us." And when their hearts were merry, they said, "Call Samson and let him entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. They made him stand between the pillars. And Samson said to the attendant who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, so that I may lean against them." Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. And on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, "Lord God, remember me and strengthen me only this once, O God, so that with this one act of revenge I may pay back the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." He strained with all his might, and the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So those he killed at his death were more than those he had killed during his life. Then his kindred and all his family came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. There was a man in the hill country of Ephraim whose name was Micah. He said to his mother, "The 1,100 pieces of silver that were taken from you, about which you uttered a curse and even spoke it in my hearing, that silver is in my possession. I took it, but now I will return it to you." And his mother said, "May my son be blessed by the Lord." Then he returned the 1,100 pieces of silver to his mother. And his mother said, "I consecrate the silver to the Lord from my hand for my son to make an idol of cast metal." So when he returned the money to his mother took 200 pieces of silver and gave it to the silversmith, who made it into an idol of cast metal, and it was in the house of Micah. This man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and teraphim and installed one of his sons who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. Now there was a young man of Bethlehem in Judah, of the clan of Judah. He was a Levite residing there. This man left the town of Bethlehem in Judah to live wherever he could find a place. He came to the house of Micah in the hill country of Ephraim to carry on his work. Micah said to him, "From where do you come?" He replied, "I am a Levite of Bethlehem in Judah, and I am going to live wherever I can find a place." Then Micah said to him, "Stay with me, and be to me a father and a priest, and I will give you 10 pieces of silver a year, a set of clothes, and your living." The Levite agreed to stay with the man, and the young man became to him like one of his sons. So Micah installed the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will prosper me because the Levite has become my priest." In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites was seeking for itself a territory to live in. For until then, no territory among the tribes of Israel had been allotted to them. So the Danites sent 5 valiant men from the whole number of their clan, from Zorah and from Eshtaol to spy out the land and to explore it. And they said to them, "Go, explore the land." When they came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they stayed there. While they were at Micah's house, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. So they went over and asked him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What is your business here?" He said to them, "Micah did such and such for me, and he hired me, and I have become his priest." Then they said to him, "Inquire of God, that we may know whether the mission we are undertaking will succeed." The priest replied, "Go in peace. The mission you are on is under the eye of the Lord." The five men went on, and when they came to Laish, they observed the people who were there living securely, after the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and unsuspecting, lacking nothing on earth, and possessing wealth. Furthermore, they were far from the Sidonians and had no dealings with Aram. When they came to their kinsfolk at Zorah and Eshtaol, they said to them, "What do you report?" They said, "Come, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and it is very good. Will you do nothing? Do not be slow to go, but enter in and possess the land. When you go, you will come to an unsuspecting people. The land is broad. God has indeed given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything on earth." 600 men of the Danite clan, armed with weapons of war, set out from Zorah and Eshtaol and went up and encamped at Kiriath-Jearim in Judah. On this account, that place is called Mahana Dan to this day. It is west of Kiriath-Jearim. From there, they passed on to the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the land, that is Laish, said to their comrades, "Do you know that in these buildings there are an ephod, teraphim, and an idol of cast metal? Now, therefore, consider what you will do." So they turned in that direction and came to the house of the young Levite at the home of Micah and greeted him. While the 600 men of the Danites, armed with their weapons of war, stood by the entrance of the gate, the five men who had gone to spy out the land proceeded to enter and take the idol of cast metal, the ephod, and the teraphim. The priest was standing by the entrance of the gate with the 600 men armed with weapons of war. When the men went into Micah's house and took the idol of cast metal, the ephod, and the teraphim, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" They said to him, "Keep quiet. Put your hand over your mouth and come with us, and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for you to be a priest to the house of one person, or to be priest to a tribe and clan in Israel?" And the priest accepted the offer. He took the ephod, the teraphim, and the idol, and went along with the people. So they resumed their journey, putting the little ones, the livestock, and the goods in front of them. When they were some distance from the home of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house were called out, and they overtook the Danites. They shouted to the Danites, who turned around and said to Micah, "What is the matter that you have come with such a company?" He replied, "You take my gods that I made and the priest and go away. And what have I left? How then can you ask me, 'What is the matter?'" And the Danite said to him, "You had better not let your voice be heard among us, or else hot-tempered fellows will attack you, and you will lose your life and the lives of your household." Then the Danites went their way. When Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his home. The Danites, having taken what Micah had made, and the priest who belonged to him, came to Laish, to a people quiet and unsuspecting, put them to the sword, and burned down the city. There was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon, and they had no dealings with Aram. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth Rahab. They rebuilt the city and lived in it. They named the city Dan after their ancestor Dan, who was born to Israel, but the name of the city was formerly Laish, and the Danites set up the idol for themselves. Jonathan, son of Gershom, son of Moses, and his sons were priests to the tribe of the Danites until the time the land went into captivity. So they maintained as their own Micah's idol that he had made as long as the house of God was at Shiloh. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this week. We thank you for this time together. I pray that you would seal this time, speak to our hearts, reveal your truth to us through your word. Reveal the truth of who you are as we disregard the things that we have heard about you that may be false, that may be man-made, that may be deceptive. And may we be hearers and doers of the truth. It is the truth that sets us free. And you are the way, the truth, and the life. We love and worship you. I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. It's his redeemed daughter from Florida. I just wanted to come on and be in agreement with the last prayer the lady was speaking of, little Asher, that God would miraculously heal him, give him a liver, whatever he needs, Lord. We just all come to you and two or more come together and pray. You are in the midst. Father God, we just ask that you heal little Asher's body, like she said, and that you give the parents peace and comfort and let them believe and receive that you are with them and that you do a mighty, mighty work, as she said, in this little boy's body, because only you can do that. Lord, let it be your will that this will be a testimony for Asher for the rest of his life. And Father, I am coming to ask the prayer warriors as well to pray for my upcoming mastectomy on April 11th. I have opted out of finishing the chemo, and I started doing protocols, and I have shrunk my tumors in half. And I just thank you and I praise you and I give you the glory for putting the people in my life to show me what to do and how to eat and to take care of your body. And you know that we can heal our bodies with your things, your herbs, your supplements, the things that you grow and the plants that you've made and the things that come from the earth. Father God, we also know that there's medical miracles as well as people being able to give a liver. So, Father, I just pray that everything will go well with me on April 11th and for Asher.
Hello, Debsy. This is Abba Songbird. So I was just talking to someone after church about, you know, just things that have been going on. And while we were talking, I thought about this song that I haven't actually heard in a while. It's called Eye of the Storm by Ryan Stevenson. It's been stuck in my head since that conversation ended. So just thought I would share a little bit here in case someone else needs it. It goes, in the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. Wherever the storm is in relation to you, whether you're in it, whether you're seeing it coming on the horizon, whether you are shipwrecked and the storm is leaving you as you just lay there on the shore like, what just happened? God is there. God is with us. God will strengthen us. God will sustain us. He's everything we need. Even when we feel like we have nothing, he is everything we need. I hope that y'all have a fantastic week. I love you guys. Still listening to all the prayers. All right. Take care.
Janice in Arizona. This is Adrian. Adrian from Maryland, his mighty tortoise. I heard you on March 31st. You are alone in the world. You are a recent widow. And I remember what being a recent widow was like. It's difficult being alone. But I wasn't totally alone because I had family. But I do remember that what got people's attention and what got people to step up and help me was being open about it. And when I walked into a new church, I remember telling the pastor, I'm a recent widow. And the pastor was right there and ready to help me. And so I'm thinking maybe I know that you're new in your church. I'm hoping that the pastor has stepped up and given you some activities for seniors, and maybe there's a grief group in your church, but maybe also visit a couple of other churches and tell the pastors, you know, I'm a recent widow. And I have a church home, but I'm a recent widow and I need some extra support. And they'll get you hooked up with some activities to help you meet some people. There's senior lunches for people in their senior years who have time. And there's so many volunteer activities that you can get involved in where you meet people and you connect and you just love on other people, with people of, with whom you get to know people. So call us back and let us know how you're doing. I'm 7 years out. I'm no longer a recent widow. And you survive, you get through. This is Adrian. We love you, Janice. Let us know.